remember listening to that song when I was a kid in church, and it's true. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the choir. Appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. And as that song was playing, as we were singing that song Friday night, we was in Bentonville. And we went looking at lights with the kiddos and driving around. And there's a lot of fancy houses in Bentonville. And if you're not careful, you can see those houses and you think, man, I wish I had that one and I wish I had this one. But then the Lord reminds you, you know, thankful for what I have, what He's blessed me with. Amen. Man, I love this season, love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. And I just dropped my notes, which is not good. Appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians. As soon as I get my notes up, and I'll tell you exactly where. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. We'll do a little reading tonight, if that's okay. You'll stand with me. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 13 says this, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Verse 3 says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Verse 5 says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light to shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that the light came into this world over 2,000 years ago? We celebrate this season. We now have this light, verse 7 says, shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clays containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Verse 8 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. I want to speak to you tonight with the help of the Lord about knocked down, dragged down, but not down. We pray with me. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house on your day, Lord. Thank you for the services that we've had this morning, Lord, tonight. The worship, Lord, and I pray right now over these next few moments, Lord, that you'd take a coal off the altar, Lord, that you anoint my lips of clay, Lord. Father, help me to get out of the way, Lord. Help me to be a vessel for you. Lord, you'll touch our heart, our ears, our mind. Help us to receive your word, and we'll be careful to praise your name. Amen and amen. Knocked down, dragged down, but not down. I'm not talking tonight about, if you hear this title, you think maybe I'm talking about a WWE match. I'm not going to be preaching tonight about wrestling, even though some of you might be like, oh man, too bad. I've never been a big wrestling fan, so I don't know much about it. But we find here tonight in Scripture that Paul is giving an overview of why they were preaching the good news to everyone. And even though he was preaching the good news, Satan, who is the god of this world, doesn't like it very well when you step on his turf. Amen? He doesn't like that very well. So the devil's going to do everything he can to keep the gospel from being preached. And Paul experienced opposition just like anybody else would. In fact, has anybody else ever invaded Satan's territory like the Apostle Paul? He was a beast, to use a word that the kids say today. When somebody's good at something, say they're a beast, beast mode. Paul was a beast. He was an example. He was somebody to look up to, and he was not afraid to go into the world and preach the gospel. When it came to spreading the gospel, he was not afraid to do that. Amen? He wasn't afraid to go into the world. I've always admired the Apostle Paul. He had guts. In Acts chapter 14, verse 19 through 20, we find that there was this mob. Paul was on his missionary, one of the first missionary assignments. And him and I believe it wasn't Silas, it was Barnabas, was preaching. And the mob came and they dragged their body. They stoned Paul and they dragged him out and left him for dead. The Bible says that the disciples came around and Paul got back up. And the Bible says that he headed right back into the city. That takes guts, amen? I don't know about you, but if I just got stoned from a city, some people took me from the city and I got stoned and left me for dead, I don't think I would get up and go back into that city. I think I'd be going the opposite direction, amen? But Paul had guts. That's what I admire about Paul tonight. And we find Paul telling us about his ministry and perhaps just his day-to-day life. But here he's in these verses in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. He's starting to get raw. He's starting to get real. He says in verse 8, we are pressed. Do you ever feel pressed tonight, church? Do you ever feel pressure on you? Sometimes it seems like life is this press and we're this grape. You know, you can press grapes to get grape juice, or you can even do olives to get olive oil. But we feel like we're in this vice, and all the world is closing in around us. Now, I know my kids, I know Brother Kyle will know this, but how many has ever seen the first original Star Wars? There's a scene in there where they're in this trash compactor, and sides are coming in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Brother Kyle knows exactly. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I imagine. Everything just coming in all around you, and you're just getting pressed. That's the way life does sometimes, amen? Have you been there? I mean, come on, right now, if we're honest tonight, we feel the pressure of the season, right? Christmas. We just heard all these beautiful songs. We're in this season. We're in the spirit of Christmas. But like Brother Heston was saying, if we're not careful, we begin to forget the true meaning of Christmas because of all the pressure, right? Especially as parents. Don't shake your head tonight because you do, amen? If we're honest tonight, remember, we're in church. We've got to be honest. You feel the pressure. It should be the most wonderful time of the year, but instead, we're Grinches and Scrooges. And yet, our human flesh comes out and a tendency to rise up in this season because we feel the pressure. Amen? We've got to get more presents. We've got to get more stuff. We didn't get the kids enough presents. What am I going to get my wife? And why do I wait until Christmas Eve to shop? Anybody doing that tonight? Kids have concerts, parties, school events. Families coming in. Got to clean house. Got to hang the Christmas lights. Got to fix Christmas dinner. Got to run and get one more gift. Turn on the TV tube and it's saying one more advertisement. You got to have this. Look on the internet and they're running Black Friday's over with, but they're still running Black Friday deals. And you see a TV. I walked into Walmart today after church to get some few things for lunch. Looked by and seen a TV on sale and thought, I've got a TV, but man, I sure'd like to have that TV. It's only on sale for $298. I have a good working TV, but you see how it is. The pressure, church. And then before we know it, we don't even want to have anything to do with Christmas. And it seems like once we hit October, the foot is on the gas pedal until we hit January 1st. And then for some reason, January just drags. The awfulest long month in the history, amen? Seems like January will never get over with. But from October to December 31st, it just flies by. And if we're not careful, all this pressure is pulling upon us. And we're feeling like we're crushed, like Paul was saying tonight. Pressure is everywhere in our lives. And unless you don't have a pulse tonight, you feel pressure. Especially if you're married and have children. Or if your kids are out of the house and you're facing a different season, whatever season of life you're in, you have pressure. Even teenagers tonight feel the pressure of school and what college to go to. Wherever you are in whatever walk of life tonight, church, unless you're dead, you feel pressure, amen? And sometimes that pressure is beginning to crush you and you feel like you're going to be crushed like the Apostle Paul said. It feels like on some days that the wagon is surrounded, you're underneath that wagon and you're out of bullets. Remember the old cowboy movies? When the wagons got surrounded and the Indians were coming around and they were underneath the wagon trying to defend off the herd or the family, that's what it feels like sometimes. And you have no bullets. But notice what Paul said. He said he was pressed, but he was not crushed. Church, you may be pressed and you may be stretched to your limits, but you're not crushed tonight. You may feel the pressure of this season. You may feel the pressure of life, but you are not crushed tonight because we have a hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a Father that will take care of us even when we feel like we're pressed or crushed. Pressed, that's not even a word. Hold on. You may be going through a storm, but your ship is not going to go down, church. You may be going through this storm. Storms cause pressure in our lives, trials and tribulations. And you may be going through a rough storm, but you're not going to go down because, church, we know who the captain of the ship is, amen? We know who the master of the storm is. The Bible says that the wind and the waves even obey Him. And they may be ugly. The storm may be ugly. The waves may be coming over the boat. But we know the captain tonight, church, of our ship. And we can know tonight that we can rest assured that even though we feel the pressure and we feel the day in, day out of the storms of life, that we can trust God and we will not be crushed. Even though sometimes we feel like that grape and we're going to pop, we can trust in Jesus. Amen. Any storm we face, that storm knows who the master is tonight, church, and it will bow down to Him. Amen. The storm has to listen. The second thing Paul said after in verse 8, he said, we are perplexed but not driven to despair. Now, I had to look up the word perplexed because I know what it means, but I don't know what it means. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know words, you know what they mean, but you can't give a definition, but you know what they mean. Your kid tries to ask you, and you have to say, well, I know what it means, but let me look it up. Let me Google it. So I Googled it. Definition of perplex is to cause to be puzzled or bewildered over what is not understood or certain. There are a lot of things that perplex me. There are a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand how half the church can be Cardinal fans or OU fans. Then I realize where we live, and I understand it. But I still love you. There are a lot of things that perplex me. One of those things, church, we know last week that an officer lost his life down in Fayetteville. And I don't know if you've seen the surveillance video, and we know that he was shot execution style. And I was thinking about this when I was looking at it Friday night, and I was like, man, I just can't wrap my mind away around why somebody would even shoot an officer. I mean, the times I've been pulled over, I've been shaking in my boots that I might even not say the right words to him. I mean, I fear authority of a police officer. First of all, he's going to write me a ticket. You know what? I can't even understand why somebody would even approach an officer, let alone put a gun to his head and shoot him 10 times. That perplexes me. I don't understand that. I don't understand why our society is pushing for gender-neutral pronouns. I heard this on the radio Friday. More and more people are pressuring people to come out and call people by different pronouns. You can no longer call people by he or she. Church, I'm not very smart, but I pretty much know the difference between a man and a woman. Amen? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. I mean, we even name plumbing and electrical parts after men and women, right? There's a difference between male and female. I don't understand that. That perplexes me, but I do know one thing. This world is jacked up. But we're not driven to despair because we have hope that this world doesn't have. You see, if our hope was in this world, we'd be most miserable. But our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the kingdom to come, in eternity, when Christ comes back for His bride. Amen? There's so many things I don't understand. But church, hang in there, child of God. There's so many things we don't understand. We don't understand why we lose loved ones, why spouses leave, why children pass away. We don't understand those things. But God does. God understands all. And even though we don't understand everything, we need to trust the One who does understand all things. Amen? Paul was saying, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Verse 9, he said, we're hunted down but never abandoned by God. Paul says, we're hunted down. Do you ever feel like you're being hunted? Now, I know we have a bunch of deer hunters in the house probably, right? A lot of people love to hunt deer. But do you ever feel like you're being hunted? Do you ever feel like the enemy's being on your trail? It's a dog-eat world, and we're out there wearing milk-bone underwear. Amen? Sometimes it feels like we have this big fat target on our backs and everyone's after us. Sometimes it feels like we're on display for the whole world to watch us fall as Christians. Amen? We got a target on our back. We're hunted. The enemy's after you. Walk into work tomorrow morning. Lord Terry's coming. We wake up Monday morning. You're on display. Guarantee you make a mistake and it's pointed out. People know. You're hunted. The enemy doesn't like you. Sometimes it feels like storms and trials and afflictions just track to us, hunt us down. It seems like I can't attract anything but storms and trials and tribulations. I can't attract money or other things, but I can attract storms. I'm good at that. Paul goes on to say, we're hunted, but we're not abandoned. You see, church, we may be hunted down. We may be ridiculed. The world may put us on display, but we're not abandoned. God doesn't abandon us. Church, we have to remember that God's promises are yea and amen. Let me say that again. God's word says His promises are yea and amen. Amen? And in Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let our conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For we have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Church, the Father will never leave us. If He says He will never leave us, you can bank on it. You can take it to the bank tonight, church. He will never leave us. No matter how rough the storm is, no matter what situation we got into us, Christ is not going to walk out on us. Amen? No matter how much pressure is being on us, Christ will not walk out on us. You may have had a spouse. You may have had friends. You may have had children turn their back on you. You may have had father or mother walk out on you. But Christ, our Heavenly Father, will not abandon you tonight, church. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And even though you're going through a rough situation right now, maybe you are, or maybe you've come out of it, Christ is always there. Amen? Remember the old poem, The Footprints in the Sand? I remember reading that as a young child, and not as a really young child, not understand it, but when I got older, and when I really grabbed hold of the meaning, how awesome of a poem that is. We may not see Him, but He is there carrying us. Amen? Through the hard times. He will not abandon you. So we may be going through trials, and we may be hunted down, but Christ will not abandon you tonight, church. And then Paul goes on to say in the next part of that, verse 9, he says, we get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Yes, church, in this life, you're going to get knocked down. Life will chew you up and spit you out. Even Paul was knocked down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 says, we have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. I'm going to read this also. This is Paul talking over in chapter 11. A few verses here, if you'll bear with me. Listen to what Paul, he wrote that part in chapter 6, verse 5. Listen to what he says in chapter 11, verse 23, starting with verse 23. It says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served Him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. I'd say Paul's been knocked down a few times, wouldn't you? I mean, suffering without food right there, that would eliminate a lot of this right there. Amen? A lot of us, from breakfast to lunch, that seems like the longest time. But church, we're going to get knocked down. Paul got knocked down. We're going to get knocked down a few times. The key, church, is to get back up. When we get knocked down, get back up. Paul did. I mean, how many of us would have survived what Paul went through? One beating, and we probably would have thrown in the towel and said, we're done. But he made the list of how many times. And he came back, he said, yeah, I've been knocked down, but it doesn't have to destroy me. You see, Satan wants to knock you down. He wants to throw that knockout punch. He wants to knock you down and keep you down for good. You see, he doesn't have to mess too much with people that are in sin, right? He just has to jerk that chain every once in a while. He's got them down. He's got them on a chain. Every once in a while, he'll jerk that chain. But for those of us that have been set free, he wants to try to knock us down. He wants to destroy us because he knows we're no longer attached to him. We're no longer attached to sin. Jesus came, like Brother Heston preached this morning, the woman, and he loosened her. When we come to Christ and he frees us, we're loosed. We're no longer the enemy, amen? We're no longer held to the enemy. We're no longer a slave. We're free. And Satan doesn't like that, and he wants to knock you down. He wants to throw that knockout punch. He doesn't want you to get back up. He wants you to wave the white flag. He wants you to surrender, turn your back, and walk away from the Lord. But church, we may face knockdowns, but we need to just get right back up. If we face a trial and situation that knocks us off our feet, we got to just get back up. And sometimes we can't get back up on our own. We need friends and we need family. And we need the church to come alongside us and help pick us back up. But we will get knocked down, but we got to get up. Get back up and fight some more. I mean, come on, even on all the Rocky's 20 movies. How many likes Rocky? I know there hasn't been 20 movies. There's only been about 6 or 7. But every movie, he gets knocked down 1 or 2 times, right? He's out there boxing, and he's going round after round, and he knocks down. But you know he's coming back up, and he'll get knocked down again. But you know, in the end, he's going to get back up. And that's Hollywood. But church, a boxer, in the boxing world, if a boxer gets knocked down, he knows he's got to get back up if he wants to win the fight. And that's what we got to do tonight, church. If we want to win this race, when we get knocked down, we got to get back up. We got to pick ourselves back up and we got to fight. Why never give up? In closing, why do we never give up? As we read here in chapter 4, why does Paul say, in verse 1, he says, we never give up. If you read down to verse 16, I didn't read that, but I want to read it to you now. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. And we'll stop right there. Why do we never give up? Church, let's be honest. In 2019, almost 2020, a few short days, it'd be real easy to give up if we were honest, right? Just look around us. Look around this world. Things are messed up. The pressure's turned up. I mean, sometimes if you're honest and in a weak moment, you'd think, man, it'd just be easy just to lay it down, right? Why even go on? I mean, look at the world. We get our eyes off Jesus and we look at the world and the world looks like they're just getting along just right. No problems, no trials. Seems like, why do I go through this? Families are splitting left and right. More and more churches are splitting, closing doors. Folks care less and less about God. Some days it would be easy just to give up, mail it in, and stay on the mat and not even pick yourself up. I don't know if you've ever been punched, but it doesn't feel too good. The physical, right? You ever been hurt or beat up or ever been just, I know you've not felt good before and been sick. Sometimes you just don't want to get up. Especially tomorrow morning, amen? Monday morning. I know I talk about Monday. I don't like Mondays, Brother Chris. I'd just rather stay in bed, especially when it gets cold. Crank out at 5 o'clock in the morning. That heater feels good. Blankets feel a lot better than that. Going out in the cold and starting the car up and heading to a place called work. But folks, we can't give up tonight. Listen why we don't give up. Go back to that verse I was reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, starting at verse 17, says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Brother Chris, if you'll come back tonight. Church, we don't give up because we have a hope that outweighs this world and anything it can offer. Our hope is spending all of eternity with the Lord. Makes all the trouble seem small. Like Apostle Paul saying, if you'll stand with me tonight. I get it, church. Trust me, I get it. I would rather not have to go through storms. I hate storms, spiritual storms. I'd rather just, sometimes I find myself, Lord, if I could just take a test, study for a test and be done with it, not even have to. I hate storms. I'm being honest with you. I don't like them. I know who I believe, and I know my Lord is my provision, and He'll protect me, but I don't like going through them. I don't like to see my family go through them. I don't like to see my church family go through them. But they're real. And we have to go through them. And it'd be easy to give up. But church, we can't give in. We got to pick ourselves up. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus tonight. The glorious hope that we're going to spend all of eternity with Him. That's what our focus is tonight, church. Even though this world's messed up, even though we go through these problems, even though the pressure is on, even though we're hunted down and crushed, or we're not crushed, but we're pressured. The reason we don't give up is because we have an eternity with the Lord. We're going to spend eternity in one or two places tonight, church. And if we got our heart right with the Lord, it's going to be for eternity with God. Amen? That's the hope that we look forward to. And He is such a good Father that not only are we going to get to spend eternity with Him, but we're going to be able to spend eternity with our loved ones and our friends that have gone on before us. We're going to have a great old time. Amen? It's going to be a heaven's jubilee, as the old song says. That's what we got to look forward to tonight, church. So in closing, you may be knocked down tonight. You may be dragged down, but you are not down. You may be pressured by all sides. You may be hunted down, but you are not down. Pick yourself back up tonight, church. I don't know if this message is for anybody but myself. Pick yourself back up. You're not down. Don't give up. Continue to fight the good fight. And you can be like Paul when he speaks from them, when he wrote his prison letters. He says, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the faith. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are our hope, that you are our future, Lord. God, it's because of you, Lord, that we can face storms and trials. All these things, Lord, that come our way. Lord, thank you tonight. That, Lord, we can put our trust in you even when things are so messed up in this world. And it is so easy to just say, we're done. The pressures of life are turned up. The pressures feel like they're coming in and we're just smothering to death. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we can have that hope in you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just real quick. What if you're here tonight and you feel some of these things I've been talking about? Maybe you feel pressured. Maybe you feel hunted down. Maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you're stretched to your limit. Maybe you say, Brother Aaron, I'm almost ready to give in. Is that you tonight? Just raise your hand. Anybody here tonight? Anybody going through a storm? You know, I've heard it been said, you're either going through a storm or you're coming out of a storm. And I believe that to be true. So I believe there should be a few more hands raised tonight. Anybody tonight going through a storm? Going through a trial? Amen. Appreciate those hands. Now I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to call you out or do anything like that, but I want you to come down to the aisle. We're not going to embarrass you, but I want you to come down to these altars, and we're going to pray over you tonight as the body of the church. And we're going to lift you up. Come on, church. If you lifted your hand, come on down tonight. We're not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray for you, and we're going to lift you up. Amen. Come on, church. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Real quickly. For the rest of you tonight, you see these down here, come down and pray for them and stand behind them tonight, church.
Sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Message tonight. I love that passage of scripture. Pressed but not crushed.